Okay, hit it.
We call the meeting to order.
Sure, you got one.
Our next public hearing is conditional use 1702 Shiloh House of Hope.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a residential school and counseling facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest Fork 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 6.01 acres, more or less, lying north of McDowell Road, being Road 567, 850 feet east of Hastings Mill Road, being Road 568, and 1/2 mile west of Atlanta Road, being Route 30. For the benefit of the record, the commissioners have been provided with a large exhibit booklet by the applicants. The commissioners all have one in their possession. We also have one in the record for the file and for review. That was received earlier this week. We also received an exhibit booklet of opposition from the opponents. It has also been made available to the commission and is in their possession, and it again is a part of the record. The commissioners have also been provided this evening with copies of correspondence in support. It's a smaller packet of documents that came through fax, and they all have a copy of that. And we've received over the last several weeks letters in opposition and petitions. They all have a copy of those rather than try to read. We'd be here all night if I have to read them, and I can't pronounce half your names anyway. So we've got 81 letters in opposition. We have a petition with 97 signatures, if I can still count. So that is also part of the record. In addition, I have two agency comments. First one being from the Department of Transportation in the form of a support facilities report. It is dated February of 2006. It makes reference to the present zoning being AR1, the conditional use application. It makes reference to Road 567 to Route 30. A traffic impact study was not recommended. The present level is level of service A. It will not change as a result of this application, and it coincides with the highway peak hour for that road segment. The information sent to the Department of Transportation to get those comments states that it's a nonprofit residential Christian school and counseling facility for ages 13 through 16. And it makes reference that it's similar to Cedar Academy in Bridgeville. And second agency comment is from County Engineering, Planning and Permit Division, making reference to the application, the use, the location, the size of the parcel. The site is not located in a county operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district. Therefore, there is no district that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that the site is not adjacent to a county-operated sanitary sewer district, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study or Area Study or undertaking an amendment will be required, and it adds that the proposed residential school and counseling facility is not in an area where Sussex County plans to put sewer, and that a concept plan is not required. And that was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And with that, I would, that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, so Mr. Link, we thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we begin, obviously we have a overflow crowd this evening. Any of you who wish to move around quietly in order to see the screen or anything else that's going on, please feel free to do so. If you need to step to one of the aisles or something so that you can see, get up and do that, please. If you cannot hear, just wave. I will see you, okay? If you can't hear what's being said, just send me a little signal, and we'll ask the folks to speak up. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Christian Berry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ken Christenberry, Axiom Engineering, Georgetown, Delaware. I'm representing the Shiloh House of Hope this evening, and I'd like to just reiterate that this is a part of the record that we've submitted. It does include our own petition, which I don't know if Mr. Link had a chance after counting other signatures to get in there and
Council.
Mr. Christian Berry, I'm going to ask you to move a little closer to the mic.
Can you hear it?
Okay, I said raise your hand, not tell me. Just raise your hand. All you need to do, I can see, It's not a problem. Please, if you would, just get a little closer to the mic.
What cord do I have? I'll try to move this one.
I know it's a little different. Just take a minute and get set up.
Okay. I'd like to start this evening by inviting the owner of the property, Lori Ryder, to come up and share a little bit about why this location was selected by her and the folks at Shiloh House.
Okay, Lori.
Thank you. We have been...
Need your name and address,
please. Okay. My name is Lori Ryder. Hmm? I live at 2909 McDowell Road, Bridgeville, Delaware.
Very good.
I've lived there for 18 years.
Proceed.
These have been handed to us this evening, and I'm asking if we could please submit them.
We'll ask you to hand those to our council. There is a 72-hour rule on submissions by the from the applicant, but we will, depending on what they are, they may be admitted, and we'll give him a chance to take a look at those.
They were just handed to us this evening as people came in.
Are they letters from different
They're letters of support. They are signatures of support.
They're not addressed to us. They're addressed to the commissioner.
Yeah, it appears, Mr. Wheatley, that they're... There's several petitions, and there are items of correspondence.
So they're addressed to us?
Right.
Okay.
Very well. And it's not the substantive type things, you know, that are part of an application.
Right.
That's
okay.
Really
so they'll be they are a part of the record, and I assume you're counting those, or were you just leafing through them?
No, I can count them. I was leafing through to see, just to verify that's what they are.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Go ahead.
One of the most important things we would like to accomplish tonight is to address the valid concerns that are created when a new program is introduced to a new area, and Shiloh House of Hope is something different. However, many of the concerns that have occurred, they have occurred because of the distribution of misinformation, and this has created a great deal of confusion about who is being served by Shiloh House of Hope. A great amount of fear has been created, and I believe that if by listening carefully to the facts that we're going to present tonight, that many of those concerns can be put to rest. Shiloh House of Hope is a Christ-centered counseling and education center established for the healing of teenagers' lives and the restoration of their families. The youth that will be served by this program are age 13 to 18. The national organization that our program is modeled after has been restoring families successfully in Orlando, Florida, for over 20 years. Shiloh House of Hope is an affiliate of this well-established organization, and one of the many reasons that this program works so well is that they are not only counseling the teenagers, but they're requiring the participation of a parent or a guardian. They will not enroll any student without a parent or guardian who is willing to come weekly for counseling sessions. There are parenting classes throughout their entire phases at the program. It is not a program that is mandated by anyone, but it is sought out by the families. It is not a correctional facility. Youth that have committed felonies or have any history of being a sexual predator will not be admitted to this program. It is a recovery center that offers teens an opportunity to have a private education while they are counseled in an environment that pours out love of Christ and removes them from the peer pressures that are constantly pounding them in their daily schedule. It also removes them from unhealthy relationships that are available to them when they're still at home. Maybe they're being counseled, but on a daily basis, they still have an opportunity to be involved in these unhealthy relationships. By being at Shiloh House of Hope, it's a residential program. They are in our care 24 hours a day. They are under direct supervision 24 hours a day. They are supervised by trained teachers, counselors, and pastors. I heard about National House of Hope at a Women of Faith conference more than 6 years ago. As I listened to the founder, Sarah Trollinger, speak, I was moved by her desire to heal hurting teenagers and their broken homes through Christ's love. When one of the graduates from the program spoke, I felt like that teenager was describing my very own past. And as she spoke, I could see how a program like that would have allowed me to leave an awful lot of baggage behind as I came into my adulthood. A program like that is just essential to be able to remove these kids from the stresses and challenges of their lives. However, at that time, I did not pursue this ministry. In 2002, I was faced with the reality that my own family was falling apart and that my husband was filing for divorce. My livelihood had always been farming, and I feared that my children and I would not be able to stay on this 55-acre piece of land that we had always called home. But God in His grace allowed us to hang on to that whole farm, and I felt strongly that a portion of that farm should at some time be used for the healing of other broken families. It had certainly been a healing ground for my children and I had discussed many ideas of how to use this piece of farm with close friends, but the one that kept coming back to me was the House of Hope, which I had heard so much about. In 2005, I got incidents. My friend Joanne, who I had shared many times my heart's desire about House of Hope, bumped into her classmate, who happened to be Robin Sturgeon's mom. Robin and her husband Mike were currently in Orlando, Florida, being trained on what it would take to start a House of Hope in Sussex County. Their biggest hurdle they felt was finding property to do so. Well, these two women had bumped into each other at a time when they needed to know what was going on in different families as far as their desires to serve their community. And when Robin and Mike returned from their training in Orlando, we shared our thoughts, our visions, our desires, and realized that we both shared that same desire to serve hurting teenagers. With a great deal of prayer and time spent learning about this program, I felt that this would be a great way to use a portion of my property. The youth that this program is designed to help need a peaceful setting that is like a safe home with family that cares surrounding them. I have three children, two boys, 16 and 17, and a 10-year-old girl, and our whole family embraces this project. I'm on the executive board, and I know that this is not a program that will endanger the safety of my children or anyone in our neighborhood. We do not feel that this presents any greater threat to us than the people who already live in our communities. I would much rather have 48 teenagers in my front yard that are seeking help than to have new homes filled with people that I know absolutely nothing about. I think that if we're honest with ourselves and we look around, probably each of us knows someone very close to us that could be helped by a program like this. In a moment, Robin will share some staggering facts about the hurts and the pain that exists in today's generation. Houses of Hope all around the country are working to teach this generation that there are safe and productive ways to handle their life struggles. And there are loving people with a faith in God that will be willing to help do that. House of Hope teaches teens that there is a hope for them. It teaches them that in a desperate place, in a desperate situation, that drugs, suicide, sex are not the answers, that there is a God and there are people who love them. House of Hope will help create a generation of productive citizens with an awareness that caring for the needs of others will help build great communities. Shiloh House of Hope would follow the program that has already been established and is successful with National House of Hope in Orlando. We're held accountable to them. We have to report quarterly to them about everything from staff to the student successes and challenges, as well as our finances. National House of Hope discourages us from building any building with borrowed funds. Scholarships and grants are available for our project through National House of Hope, as well as many other avenues. As affiliates to National House of Hope, we're required to attend training that is offered by them at the headquarters, and their opportunities are many. Shiloh House of Hope would serve youth who are struggling to connect with friends in their schools and even their families. at some point in their life, some of these teenagers have had something traumatic, have had a traumatic experience that has caused them to withdraw or react in an unhealthy way. The students that will be considered for the program must have a parent or guardian willing to be a part of this counseling. It is essential that as the life of this youth is being transformed and healed, that they themselves know they'll be returning to a family that's changed also. The program is divided into many phases, and Robin will touch on all of that. But their day is rigorous. It's very structured, and structure is what they're in need of. The students will follow their daily schedule with a supervisor directly by their side at all times. They will stay in small bungalows, no more than 8 students in a home, with one adult supervisor at least at all times. There will be a security system on all windows and all doors, as well as fire alarm. Parents are the only visitors that these students will be allowed to have during their stay at Shiloh. No one else will be able to visit them. A parent will come and pick them up. The students will not have any vehicles of any kind on the campus. The only traffic that will be created is by the staff and the weekly visits and the counseling and parenting classes. And deliveries of supplies will also happen weekly. As I considered offering property to this project, I knew that there would be many concerns. I had my own, and I researched it. And with all of these things that I've laid out before you, I feel very comfortable having this in my front yard. The land there has been farmland. Yes, it's never been great farmland. I originally offered 5.5 acres that sits directly in front of my home, surrounded on all 3 sides by land that I own myself. The surveyor recommended increasing it to 6 acres so that we could push it back a little bit from McDowell Road and put in a buffer so that it would not be seen by passersby, would not change the scenery in that area. In a few years, passersby will not even see the campus from the road. And it will be a joy and a privilege for my family to be able to share that property with those that are coming and going from Shiloh House of Hope. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have Robin Sturgeon come forward, please.
Good evening. I'm Robin Sturgeon, president of Shiloh House of Hope from Seaford, Delaware. I would like to continue to clarify exactly what Shiloh House of Hope is. Again, as stated earlier, Shiloh House of Hope is a Christ-centered, non-denominational, not-for-profit residential school and counseling program to help hurting teens and their families receive healing and restoration. Our statement of faith is on our website and as presented right there, and that can be examined further. We have a 4-member executive board and a 6-member board of directors. Shiloh House of Hope does not accept any government funding, and again, is not a corrections facility. Thank you. What makes it different from a corrections facility is that because we do not accept any government funding, courts may make referrals to Shiloh House of Hope. However, every applicant must go through our applicant process. It is not a holding place. It is a place of healing that has been sought out by parents and guardians who must commit to participate in the program through weekly individual counseling and parenting classes. If they are unwilling, again, as stated earlier, to make that commitment, we cannot accept the teen into the program because our goal is to fulfill the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, which states, "Return the hearts of the fathers and mothers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers and mothers." As you can see up here, this specifies the type of applicant that Shiloh House of Hope will accept. We will only accept applicants, again, we've talked about the parents and their commitment, applicants who have not been convicted of a violent crime against another within the last 24 months, applicants who agree to follow Shiloh House of Hope policies, and applicants who live within the Delmarva Peninsula. Shiloh House of Hope has no need to take teens or families from cities such as Baltimore, Washington, Philadelphia, or Wilmington, because there are affiliate Houses of Hope in Silver Spring, Maryland, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that can serve those students. Shiloh House of Hope is one of 34 affiliates of National House of Hope in Orlando, Florida. 8 of those affiliates are currently operating a residential program. Yes, many of them have begun the residential program within the last couple of years, but each follow the model in Orlando, which has been operating successfully for the past 20 years. 9 affiliates, including Shiloh House of Hope, are currently running a non-residential counseling program. National also has 13 pre-affiliates and 15 prospect Houses of Hope nationwide. The National House of Hope is a program that includes Christ-centered counseling, structured education at Hope Academy, parenting workshops, daily spiritual guidance and teaching, and a loving home-style environment. The affiliation agreement that we have with National House of Hope and the requirements are in the 4th tab in your binder. One of the questions may be, why Shiloh House of Hope? I was a public high school teacher for the past 12 years, and during that time, I saw a rapid decline in the students and their motivation and and the values that they were believing in. And many of them began to stay after school, not necessarily for math help, but seeking personal help and someone to listen to. As this continued, I began to pray about what the Lord would have me do, since in a public school system, I am not allowed to share my personal testimony and source of strength and healing, which is through Jesus Christ. Since prayer has been taken out of the public school in 1963, suicide rates have risen over 200%. Violent crimes have gone up over 560%. Divorce rates have risen over 400%. And a recent article in the state news stated that suicide attempts from young girls ages 10 to 14 has risen 76%. The trends are not a surprise. As I moved from the high school to a district position into middle school, I saw that those trends that I was seeing in the high school were filtering down, and the teens were getting younger and younger, and the issues such as sexual abuse, abandonment, depression were continuing to rise. If steps aren't taken and a place is not provided for those seeking help, the trend will just continue to worsen. So it is our vision at Shiloh House of Hope to answer the cry of this generation and begin taking steps to provide hope to the hopeless. As mentioned, Shiloh House of Hope is a Christian residential school. We will have Hope Academy on site. This will offer an individually paced Christian education through the Accelerated Christian Education Accredited Program, where students have the opportunity to meet or exceed grade level standards. Sometimes they may come in feeling behind, lack of confidence, they haven't been performing well in school. Through this provision and education, they are able to build their confidence, get back on track, return to their home school on grade level or above grade level. Again, currently, Shiloh House of Hope has been offering non-residential counseling since mid-January of this year, 2007, and has counseled and ministered to 10 families. You will hear from some of our families later. Each family has been from Sussex County, with 5 families from Seaford, 2 from Laurel, 2 from Millsboro, and 1 from Lewis. These teens are not coming from surrounding cities. They are local families coming to us seeking help. The program at Shiloh House of Hope, and this is the last blue tab, the policies and procedures. In there are the intake policies. Upon intake for the residential program, you can see that there are contracts that the parent needs to sign, commitments that the parent needs to make. We do background checks on each applicant. Each applicant is tested for drugs, blood work. A physical is completed, and all of this is done at the parent's expense. Parents turn the custody of the child over to Shiloh House of Hope during the duration of their stay. There is a sliding scale according to income. Parents take an active role in helping financially support their child. Once a teen is admitted, they progress through a series of five phases and then a home phase. The first phase is called orientation phase. It is very structured. The teen will not have any contact, even with parents, for the first 2 weeks. While they are able to begin to open up and meet with counselors and staff and familiarize themselves with the policies, rules, and procedures at Shiloh House of Hope. As the phases progress, teens can earn opportunities for weekend passes or a dinner pass with their parents or guardians who will come pick them up and take them. They can also lose that privilege as well. As you can see, we have a very regimented daily schedule, and I would like to point that this is the general schedule. There is a difference. Boys and girls are kept separate throughout the program. They will eat at different times. They will not come together. The only time that we will have them together is in a group setting in the chapel during chapel service. But even in that situation, the boys are on one side, and the girls are on the other. So from the morning, they will be learning chores. They will have devotion times with house staff. They have responsibilities. The chores do rotate weekly. So they learn how to do all chores. Throughout the day, their school schedule is regimented. Again, they will eat lunch at different times. They will work with their teachers through their PACES in the Accelerated Christian Education Program. The afternoon, again, they will have chores not in the house. This will be chores to help keep the campus clean and intact. The progression and boundaries for those phases can be found in the residence manual prior to the first orange tab. We desire to transition each teen back into the community, making good choices. Therefore, staff will take the teens to area youth groups and church services so they can get to know and have a place to continue fellowshipping once they graduate from the program. In the homes, as Ms. Ryder mentioned earlier, they will be with staff 24 hours a day. In the evening, the house staff bedroom is actually situated between the resident rooms. We'll have a window on either side, and it will be a one-way window to look out and see into the rooms and keep a close monitor of that. We will exceed the Delacare requirements by lowering our ratio of staff to student from 1 to 12 to 1 to 8 while the student is not in school. Also, according to Delacare requirements, it says there is one staff per 12, and that staff may be sleeping on overnight activities. But we will have an extra staff on site that will be awake throughout the night doing checks, being there in case any needs arise, that we have an extra person. The Delacare requirements state that a person must be available within a 30-minute drive. So we will have someone right there on site. As mentioned earlier, all houses will have security systems, including all windows and doors. Consequences are given for not following House of Hope standards, rules, staff instructions, or consequences. Tight disciplinary code, which is broken down into detail in the residence manual section of your binder behind operations, is there for further review. As you can see, at House of Hope, we are working with these teens, first of all, to build their confidence, realize that there is hope for them. Many come in suffering a lot of issues, things that the world has thrown at them. And we want to tell them that there is hope, that they do have a purpose, and also help prepare them to re-enter into society. As you can see, some of these offenses, swearing, crude, unedifying talk, there is a consequence to that as well. We do have a behavior program, which is called Family Roles, and that is through Dr. Matt Johnson. That is what House of Hope uses, and that will be implemented. You can see there the different roles, what the consequences are. We have a program of good habit cards. They pick so many, and with this respect, that can double. They can put on a phase freeze where they cannot progress any further in their phase. They can also be put on discipline orientation where they are required to go back to the orientation requirement phase of the program. The staff at House of Hope will receive all of their training. They will receive on-site training in Orlando through job shadowing, 3 days of job shadowing. All House staff are required to do that before being hired and able to serve at Shiloh House of Hope. And we will have weekly staff meetings. And again, the requirements for staff and professional development will exceed the 40 hours annually as stated in the requirements. Okay, Shiloh House of Hope is not a program that is mandated, but is one that is sought out. It is not a correctional facility, but is a recovery center. It is not a social service agency, but a ministry and education center. Most of all, Shiloh House of Hope is not about us, but is about our kids, our grandkids, and the entire generation of this country's next leaders. We have allowed the media to portray alcohol as an escape, sex as an adventure, and violence as a reaction. Currently, 1 in 10 teens has been raped. 40% of teens self-mutilate, and prison populations have risen over 460% in the past 40 years. I had a student that took his own life, and I did not see it coming. I never would have expected it. What I have come to realize since then is that there are many more silent, hurting teens sitting in our classroom, sitting in our community, crying out for help, and no one is hearing them. At Shiloh House of Hope, we listen. We don't judge what they're feeling. We understand that life throws curveballs, but there is a God who created them and is there ready to heal them and their family. We have seen miraculous things already at Shiloh House of Hope just through the non-residential program. But through the residential program, when the teen can escape the environment that they feel trapped in and be put in a loving, safe environment and able to relate to those and talk to those and get out what has really deeply been hurting them and find new life and feel that they can live again, we feel that Shiloh House of Hope is very necessary for this community. It is our vision at Shiloh House of Hope, again, to answer the cry of this generation. Thank you.
Next portion of our presentation, we'd like to share a video that was provided by the local law enforcement adjacent to the National House of Hope in Orlando, Florida.
Proceed.
Hi, I'm Sarah Trollinger, founder and president of National House of Hope. There's a war going on in the Middle East, but there's a raging battle in America, and it's called Fighting for America's Teens and Families. The breakdown of the family is a cancer eating at the very roots of our society. We at House of Hope are fulfilling the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, turning the hearts of the fathers and mothers to their children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers and mothers, lest there be a curse on the land. It's our responsibility as citizens in America to break the curse.
I'm Chief Steve Jones of the Orange County Sheriff's Office. House of Hope Orlando, the national model for over 70 houses of hope across America, has been recognized by President Ronald Reagan in 1985, who personally visited House of Hope in Orlando in 1990. Other stamps of approval included President George Bush, and the Point of Light Award by Governor Jeb Bush as the most successful program across America.
Every day, I'm faced with parents crying, "Won't you please help save my son or daughter who are rebellious, on drugs, alcohol, sex abuse, pornography, gangs, body mutilation, the occult, and on. They're all looking for love in all the wrong places. Hurting teens and parents with no place to go."
House of Hope is highly recognized as a program that heals and reconciles teenagers with their parents. I know of no other incidents of House of Hope's teenagers involved in delinquent acts in the surrounding community. They have been an outstanding partner with the Sheriff's Office and a good neighbor. In a resolution presented on behalf of the citizens of Orange County Mayor Richard Crotty stated that the House of Hope has helped to restore the lives of thousands of teenagers and their families and serves as a national model for other Houses of Hope across the nation. House of Hope will be an asset to your community.
Romans 15:1 says, "Let us then, who are strong, bear the weaknesses of the weak, not considering ourselves." In Philippians 2:15 it says, "In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, you and I are to be the lifeline, handing out the word to these young people who are going down for the third time." Sir Edmund Burke once said, "A sure way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Let's band together and save this generation. You are vital."
Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to talk a little bit about the technical aspects of the application and of the specifics of the property. You've heard a lot of discussion about location and buffering, and really I'd like to go ahead and paint that.
Christenberry, I think some of the folks in the back can't hear you again, so if you sort of...
Let me see if I can...
...lean in a little more.
Is that any better?
I don't see any hands yet, so...
Well, that's good. Okay. By all means, let me know if that becomes a problem. The property is located west of Bridgeville. This map is oriented with north to the left. It's about 1,000 feet from the intersection with Hastings Mill Road, up McDowell Road. The current site includes a farmhouse that's fairly far off of McDowell Road. There's an existing dilapidated farmhouse here and a grove of woods, and those woods will remain throughout the project. And that's going to be supplemented by additional buffering along the road. This house right here, this green rectangle, that's actually Lori Ryder's house. So I found it interesting that one of the letters of opposition stated that they thought it would be interesting if the applicant would be willing to put this project in their backyard. I think her answer is that she's chosen to put it in her front yard. I think you see my point, though. She's put her faith in the ability of this program to be a blessing and to be managed safely and securely. Obviously, that is one of the concerns that has been brought up by those with an interest in the application. This area right here is where that existing grove of trees is that's to remain. This area right here is additional land that's owned by Ms. Ryder, and it's currently wooded and will remain as a buffer. There will be probably a home put on there by one of her children someday, which would leave a good portion of this, 2.5-acre lot in woods, 2.67 acres. Additionally, along the road frontage, there is intent to have a stormwater facility here to tie into the tax ditch that runs through the balance of Ms. Ryder's property. And then there's an additional stormwater facility to be placed in the middle. This is to remain a wet pond so that a dry hydrant can be placed to provide for fire protection, as we are not near central water, and as the letter from County Engineering indicated, we are not near central sewer. The site is intended to be sewered by the addition of two low-pressure pipe septic systems. The property is to be subdivided in a minor subdivision with the administrative offices. So let me go ahead and go to this page here. The administrative offices and the school on one parcel, and the chapel and the dormitories on the other.
And each one of these systems would fall within regulations that do not require large systems. And I don't know if you all can receive a hard copy of this, but just today I actually received approval for the two septic systems for the soil work that was done out there and for the two LPP systems. Because the students are not going to have vehicles, the pavement or the driveway would end right here at the administrative building, and this would simply be a gravel driveway for maintenance vehicles back through the rest of the campus. There is a half-court basketball court shown in the middle, and because these septic systems are at grade, I have one in my backyard that my kids play on all the time. There would be some fill placed here to make essentially a large field area where some recreation could occur. No permanent structures like backstops or soccer goals that are implanted in the ground could be placed, but it's a large enough area. It's 150 by 200 feet. I apologize for that. That could be used for additional outdoor recreation. The final buffer is in the back between some of these residential units and Ms. Ryder's home, just to provide her with a little bit of a buffer. Oops, sorry about that again. As Mr. Lank read into the record, the Delaware Department of Transportation reviewed the service level evaluation of the site and determined that a traffic impact study is not warranted. It's not anticipated that this facility will create a large flow of traffic in any way because of the nature of the students, because it's a residential school and there will be no commuting students, and the amount of staff is not such that it's going to cause major traffic concerns. Essentially, this application is for the provision of a conditional use to allow for a private school in a rural area. Private schools in Sussex County are in rural areas very often. I can think of six offhand: Epworth Christian School, the Jefferson School, Eagles Nest Christian School, the Lincoln Christian Tabernacle, Greenwood Mennonite, Cedars Academy. All these schools are on AR1 land, gentlemen. They're private schools. That's what we're asking for permission to do. This is a residential area. It's an agricultural area. You've been to the Jefferson School site? There's no businesses out there. There's no city out there.
Let me ask you to speak a little bit louder, Mr. Christianberry.
Apologize.
I know you're leaning on that microphone, but why don't you try a little bit more from inside, and that little thing will pick it up, and everybody can hear you, because what you're saying is important. I think these people need to hear it.
Okay.
It's like you're singing in the choir, bringing up from the diaphragm.
Trying to get his head away from
me. Need a longer staff on it. Maybe I'll just pick it up.
I think it pulls out some, doesn't it? Pull out?
I think I've got it out as far as it'll go. If I was shorter, it would possibly be better.
Turning his head away from the mic.
That might help a little.
There you go. Try that.
Any better? Okay. As I said, the subject of this application is for the conditional use of land to allow for a private residential school on agricultural residential property. And the question that has to be asked is that a reasonable use of land in Sussex County? And that question has come before this body several times in the 10 years I've lived here. 10 years ago when I moved here, Eagles Nest Christian School did not exist. Neither did the Jefferson School. I'm not sure how long ago the Lincoln Christian Tabernacle, the Greenwood Mennonite School, the Cedars Academy, and the Epworth Christian Schools were created. But they were created in rural residential areas as private schools. I think everyone in this room knows there's a need for this facility. And the question is, where in Sussex County is the appropriate location for that kind of project?
Excuse me a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, you're having trouble hearing. Be quiet so the man can speak, and then maybe you'll hear him. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. The need exists, and the precedent exists for this body to approve this application, because a private school in a residential area, in a rural agricultural area in this county, is a precedent that's been established by this body multiple times. And with that, I have nothing further unless the chair has any questions.
All right, sir. We appreciate that. And we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Mr. Christopher, you stated that there's several, what you show here, there's several private schools in the area here, but it's not the same as this school, right?
That is correct.
I mean, there's a big difference in the private schools and the school you're proposing. As far as the people that they...
Their target student body. There is a difference, which leads to the additional security measures of 24-hour monitoring alarm systems placed on the residential units. And
how many facilities are in the nation besides Orlando? Is there any more?
Robin, would you care to answer that question?
There are currently 8 that are operating in the residential, 9 operating non-residential. There are 13 pre-affiliates and 15 prospect Houses of Hope working towards opening a residential program.
And these facilities, these 8 that you just said that are operating, how far are they usually away from the closest municipality?
I know Susquehanna Valley, which is the closest operating residential program. They are in Danville, north of Harrisburg. I don't know exactly how far, but I know it took me a while to get there. They're out in the country.
So it's not unusual to be out in the country?
No, actually, most prefer that to help the teens heal and get away from the environment that's invading them.
And how will a teen be referred to your school?
Parents call, oftentimes youth pastors that notice something. We've had some youth pastors call. But each situation we have had so far has been a parent calling, seeking help for their child.
Okay. And you say you do a background check.
Yes.
That's including criminal history?
Yes.
Okay. Do you get that permission from a parent before you do that? Or?
Yes. They must pay for the background check.
And what's the average length of time that a teen usually stays?
Typical stay is 7 to 14 months, and that is stating that they go through the phases of the program. The minimum, again, through discipline, they can be put on a phase freeze. They can stay extended on a phase for a while until a team of counselors, the executive director, house staff, teacher, those working the closest with the teen can determine that the teen has met all the requirements of that phase and is able to progress to the next phase.
Okay. I know you said this, and I missed it, I guess. How many counselors will you have?
We will have counselors on site as well as operating in the evening. Most of them will be part-time, but we will have a lead counselor that will be a full-time counselor. Each counselor, we desire they have no more than 6 teens per counselor, and actually that number is pretty high because once in the residential program, the parents are also required to go through their own individual family counseling, and so that counselor will work with the family. So as to not overload the counselor, we would like to keep it around 4, but National operates with a maximum of 6.
So will there be like field trips or anything? Or
yes.
There will be field trips?
Yes.
So they will be allowed to leave the facility?
They will only leave with staff, okay, and still remaining in the staff to student ratio.
That's only question. All the questions I have right now, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Christianberry, I'd like to, with your assistance, sort of explore some of the questions that I have looking at this from a land use aspect and the site plan. I'm under the impression that I believe it was that there may be 48 students in a residential environment here. Is the number of the dormitories, they'll have a sufficient number of bedrooms to reflect that?
Yes, sir. From the site plan, these three buildings here are three-bedroom dormitories, and those are three-bedroom dormitories. So there's a total of six buildings. Three are intended for girls and three are intended for boys. The buildings look like this, so they do have a residential character to them. And these rooms can either be set up with bunk beds, or there is actually adequate floor space to have all four bunks on the floor. It's really going to be the option of the students. Between those two bedrooms is the staff bedroom, where it will be manned 24 hours throughout the night. There will be a staffer there. There will be alarms on the doors and windows so that if anyone were to try to enter or leave the building, the staffer would be made aware of that. 24 hours a day on this site, during the evening hours when folks are sleeping, there will be one night watchman on the property every night patrolling the grounds.
And you indicated you just got today approval or
for the soils work. For the soils work.
For the soils.
Correct.
For your estimated gallons.
Yes.
Flow.
Each septic system would be permitted to discharge up to 2,500 gallons per day. And based on the calculations I've run, each the division of the property into residential and then administrative sections, the subdivision line would be simply a minor subdivision. The administrative building in the school, which includes the cafeteria, would be served by this LPP septic system here, which could service up to 2,500 gallons per day. And then the dormitories would go back to this one. A typical household septic is sized for about 300 gallons a day, so this is about 8 times the size of a typical residential septic system. But it does not meet the criteria of, say, something that Tidewater would put in for a 100-lot subdivision. It's a more simple process.
And the 90-seat chapel has been factored in. Has that been factored in as capacity on a daily basis or once a week or how?
I can check my calculations if you can give me a minute. The chapels tend to generate a fairly low amount of wastewater compared to, say, the cafeteria, really. So the cafeteria on this side and the dorms on that side are what generate the lion's share of the flow.
And thank you for mentioning the cafeteria, because I wanted to ask what frequency of deliveries to the site of various and sundry products, such as food deliveries and things, UPS trucks, freight haulers?
I'll defer to the applicant.
We would anticipate weekly deliveries. Some of the meals will actually be created and brought in by church groups, while we are a smaller operation. Instead of having that would be on weekends. During the week, we would be providing food in our cafeteria. So weekly deliveries, I would anticipate with more perishable foods, you would have a couple of deliveries of food weekly.
And the size of those trucks, would they be sort of like the typical Cisco truck and UPS, FedEx vehicles?
I can't say. I haven't looked into who we would actually be ordering from, but with the size of our project, I would suspect that they would not be large tractor trailers by any means.
Thank you. I don't see anything on your site plan about dumpster and waste.
Thank you for catching that. We'd be certainly sure to add that before we would ask everyone to move in.
Okay. Is that maintenance building in the buffer, in the setback? Or you're saying that these other lands are owned by Ms. Ryder?
They are owned by Ms. Ryder, but I think you're actually right about that as well. That would need to be bumped back in.
How about lighting? You mentioned, would that be up, down, sideways, shielded, dusk to dawn?
Dusk to dawn, the lighting would not be pointing out away from the property. It would all be projected in. And in I believe it's addressed in the conditions in here that the lighting would be only directed toward the property itself.
Thank you. Thoughts on fencing? I may have missed it if you touched on it. Just be brief.
The thoughts on fencing are that this is not a correctional facility or detention facility, and that the use of fencing might create that kind of environment. So the landscape buffering is what was chosen in lieu of that. There'd be evergreen plantings along here. There's existing forest here, and there's existing stand of trees here. So really, they would prefer not to do fencing unless the commission felt there were a very positive, specific benefit to it.
And what are your thoughts? Because I know you've been in front of this commission before, and you may have picked up that we don't particularly like to see the stormwater management areas out by the roadsides.
The reason for showing one here is that when you slide over to this, it doesn't show up too well there. Let me go to the aerial photograph for you, Mr. Gordy. The property that Ms. Ryder owns is served by a tax ditch right here. And the tax ditch is flowing this way. It gets very deep across the road over here. In order to drain to it and not bisect her farmland any more necessary, we may run a swale parallel to the road, and that would just mean that these two ponds would be interconnected and this pond would discharge to that swale and run with the road. So that was the thinking there. I don't think it would be tragic to the stormwater design for us to run it back through by her greenhouses, but the swale is going to be deeper here, so we can probably keep the pond size more compact by going to a deeper portion of the tax ditch.
And I'm sure you're aware and advised to your client that should this project be a build out, and it may be quieting for some of the neighbors to know that you would be operating under the Sussex Conservation District, where all of your stormwater, anything that you would generate that way due to impervious surface, would be totally contained on this site and this site only.
We would have to meet
with an outfall.
We would have to meet Sussex Conservation District requirements, which mandates that the 2- and 10-year storm be managed and the 100-year storm be safely passed.
What are the thoughts of the applicant towards a sign, and lighted or unlighted or no signage?
Again, I believe that is in your exhibit, that there would be a sign. Any lighting would be only directed onto it.
Okay, so it's part of the record. Thank you. And the parking that you mentioned would be in that area, the administration building, that handicap accessible, and seems to you feel that is adequate, even though I do believe that you mentioned you encourage a visitation and parental participation. Was there going to be adequate parking for the...
We haven't performed a detailed parking study at this time. They do have a fair amount of grass area, so that if they did have a large chapel event graduation, they could once a year use overflow parking. As far as their weekly needs, I think that is very, very adequate. As far as what they're going to need 85-90% of the time, I think that's more than adequate.
And I guess if you could, I believe, and I hope to be corrected if I'm wrong, conditional use, a couple of the considerations are a need, of which you have indicated what you see as a need for this. How about, I believe the other criteria that we should consider would be compatibility. Could you give us a
compatibility? The use of the buffering would help create a compatible atmosphere where those in the area, you have the existing forest that's going to remain, you have additional vegetative areas. These buildings are not industrial in size, scale, and scope. You've got a chapel, which is anywhere in rural Sussex County, you pretty much run across country churches all over the place. The buildings, the administrative building, although it's larger, is still not an industrial institutional style of building. It's one that is compatible with a rural environment. And in terms of the functionality of the Shiloh House of Hope, a rural setting is ideal because getting away from the pressures that they may be experiencing in their current environment is part of the key to the success of the residential program.
Thank you.
No other questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a variety of questions, some that deal with your program, and that extends back to my former life as a Child Protective Services Administrator, and those have to do with your licensing requirements and what discussions you've had with the state of Delaware concerning Delacare or whatever they now call that.
Yes.
We used to call it Offices of Licensing and something else, but... So what discussions have you had with the state concerning your licensing?
The licensing, it is a 90-day process once we receive permitting approval to move ahead. So we have just been awaiting the approval to move ahead with the licensing for the program.
Because as I recall, the licensing will have to deal with the type of buildings you have and the requirements of those buildings and whether they can doors can be locked or whether you have the emergency bars. You know, those sorts of things that impact on the residential aspect of your program.
I know our architect has looked, has checked all codes and fire safety hazards as far as those meet, far as that criteria goes.
Okay. And what about the State Board of Education? Has there been any discussion in terms of the educational program that will be provided and the state's requirements?
Used in other schools in the area?
The PACE curriculum, I don't know that it's used in other Christian schools. I know many of them use the ABECA program, but it is a nationally accredited program. It does count towards students getting back on grade level. It determines where a student is. There are tests that I have not personally checked with the state as far as the different criteria.
But I'm assuming that educational is a big part of your program as well as the residential part.
Yes, it is.
And in that respect, what kind of qualifications of staff would you be looking at in terms of the educators and as well as the counselors?
Counselors, each of our, it is a pastoral counseling program, but each of our counselors that we currently have degrees in counseling, master's degrees in counseling before they do the individual counseling with them. Oh, the teachers, we do require that they have had graduated from a teacher program.
Such as
degree,
yourself.
An education degree.
Thank you. And points of clarification, we're not talking about foster care. We're not talking about group homes. We're not talking about a detention center like we have at Stevenson Home. We're not talking about fair school for boys. We're not talking about any of those things.
Correct.
Okay. So what we're talking about then today is a residential Christian faith-based treatment program for teenagers.
Yes.
And you will meet all the requirements of licensing by the state of Delaware in order to do that.
Yes.
Because I know my experience with group homes and my experience with residential treatment programs, whether they're out in the wilderness of North Carolina or they're in inner city, none of them have fences. Now Fair School for Boys has fences, but when I worked there, we didn't. You know, they just scattered like rabbits across the field when they wanted to run away. But I agree with you in terms of the fences that it's not appropriate for a residential program. You know, we're not talking about, you know, cattle. We're not talking about, you know, horses. We're talking about children that have problems and have a need of your services. Sorry for my editorial.
Well, it's we all find it very edifying.
So with
just,
with
just no end to you're a real Renaissance man.
All those former lives I've had.
I tell you what, I've been sitting next to you for a long time. I learn something every week. Go ahead.
I've noticed you become a better chairman each week too.
There are those that would take issue with that, but I appreciate your vote of confidence. Let's keep moving here.
So we're not talking about purchase of care payments from the state of Delaware with children. We're not looking for a service contract with them. We're not talking. We're talking about payments that are made directly by the families, donations from the community.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the what ifs. You know, what if you don't have enough students coming in? What if the response from the community is not sufficient?
Currently, just through the non-residential program, we've been able to serve 10 families, many of which wish a residential program was up and running. The program will be built in phases. We plan to begin with 2 homes, 1 boy home, 1 girl home. We're determining as to whether, you know, the beginning we were going to look at the calls that we received, if both homes needed to begin being girls. However, we began receiving calls from parents of sons, and so there is a need for both a girl home and a boy home, and then we will continue to build and progress as that need increases.
And I recall reading something in the voluminous material that I received, some information that if the program doesn't work out, that the property reverts back to
Ms. Ryder. Yes.
Okay. So it's not one of those things that if you all don't work out, we're not going to have a state-run group home in there.
That's correct.
Okay. Just trying to clarify.
Remember, it's still in her front yard.
Right. And I just want to clarify for the commission as well as for the audience some of the issues that have been floating around and some of the concerns that have been there.
Yes. And may I comment that, you know, we are in taking custody of these teenagers and responsible to their families for them, that every safety measure will be taken for the safety of each of the teens in the homes. And so during the application process, if there is an applicant that we determine to be a threat to him or herself or anyone else in the program, that teen will not be accepted into the program.
And it's my understanding that your program is family-based, so that if there's not a parental figure who's involved, then the child is not part of your program.
Yes, and that has happened already through the non-residential. We have received calls from parents, but once it is stated that parents must attend weekly parenting classes, many say they will discuss it and don't call back because they're not willing to be a part of the program. Every family that we have had, the parents have had excellent attendance weekly.
Because going back to my vast experience, mm-hmm.
Storehouse of knowledge. Yeah.
The typical response of the group homes or the parents of children going to group homes in the state of Delaware was relief to be rid of them and passing on the responsibility elsewhere. So I commend you on the difference in your program.
Thank you. Respect. We feel that is where the success lies in the restoration of the teen and the family.
So when you talk about possible referral from family court, that's just the beginning stage. That's not the end all. Just because family court says we have this child that we think is appropriate for your program, the child and the family would still have to meet your requirements.
That is correct.
Okay. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right.